Welcome to the Ask Dr. Turner Radio Ministry broadcast. Prepare to be enlightened and empowered. Without further delay, here's your host, Dr. Turner.
Greetings, beloved. Let's get ready for a divinely inspired word by Holy Spirit. But before we do, please allow me to take a pause for the cause of ministry identification. You are tuned in to the Ask Dr. Turner radio broadcast, beloved, brought to you by Pure in Heart Deliverance and Outreach Ministries International, located at 2851 Edgewood Avenue North in the city of Jacksonville, Florida. Our service times are Sundays at 12 noon. A ministry that prays without ceasing. A ministry where it is all about souls. A ministry that is missions minded. And we continue to cordially extend an invitation to you and yours to join us once again. Pure in Heart Deliverance and Outreach Ministries International, located at in Jacksonville, Florida, at 2851 Edgewood Avenue North. Hope to see you this Sunday, tomorrow, 12 noon. Know that we here at the Ask Dr. Turner broadcast continually pray for you and yours. Our listeners, we take praying for you very, very seriously, as we believe strongly in the power of God to bring forth both change and transformation through the vehicle of prayer that the Lord has given us. And that is why I encourage you to go to our website, AskDrTurner.org, to pick up a copy of the awesome, the dynamic prayer CD, unctionized by the Holy Ghost, recorded by Dr. Turner. And if you have any questions concerning anything in the Bible that you may find difficult to grasp or understand, please don't hesitate. Contact us, reach out to us via email, AskDrTurner8@gmail.com. That is AskDrTurner, the number 8@gmail.com. And if you would like to write to us, you can do so at Pure in Heart, P.O. Box 26725, Jacksonville, Florida 32226. And remember, when you're writing, glory to God, if the Lord unctionizes you, send a donation to support the great work that is being done. No gift given from the heart is too small. If you choose to do it via Cash App, you can do it using the $ capital P, capital I, capital H, followed by the word church with a capital C. Now, let's get to the word of the Lord. I want to talk about life, L-I-F-E. More specifically, beloved, the God kind of life. And some of the key components of what that life consists of. And our scripture focus will be out of John 10:10. Very familiar passage. Jesus said, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come," excuse me, "that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." So, the God kind of life entails more than just breathing, more than just being alive. Abundantly, as it is used by Jesus in John 10:10, is the Greek word perissos, P-E-R-I-S-S-O-S, beloved, which means super abundant in quantity or superior in quality. It represents preeminence, exceeding abundantly above, advantageous, very high, beyond measure. It also means vehemently. So this is the kind of life our foreparents, Adam and Eve, were blessed with by God when he formed and created them, before they allowed sin to rob them and the world and those who would be a part of their lineage of life, and that more abundantly. Now, when Jesus used these words "more abundantly," we must be careful not to reduce these words to mean simply material things. right? An abundance or more abundance of materialism, but a life that is void of joy and peace. Jesus was referring or referencing a life of wholeness and balance. Very important. Wholeness and balance. You would think having abundance would be enough for a child of God. But the more abundant life speaks of two things. The first is God's love for his children and how much he has to of that love he has to bestow upon them, bestow upon us. The second is the more abundant life means we are blessed to be in a position to be a blessing. This is something I often repeat. We are blessed to be a blessing, blessed to help others. Especially what James said concerning visiting the fatherless and the widows in their affliction. Excuse me. Think about this for a moment. If every child of God who is the recipient of God's abundant life, or life that is more abundant, committed his or herself to giving food and clean water to one family in a country where getting basic sustenance is a challenge, we could wipe out starvation, especially when it comes to the lives of children living in impoverished countries where they don't have access to nutritious food, clean water, and proper medical care. Now, I don't think we should, you know, hate on people. That's a strong word because, they have accumulated, millionaire or billionaire status, right? Obviously, when they work hard and use their ingenuity and they're diligent and they come to a place of great financial achievement, that's a good thing. But, why should a few people or a small percentage of people in the world control all the wealth while there are children who can't get clean water to drink, children who don't have access to proper medical care, children who can't, have a balanced, nutritious meal to eat. We need better, in other words, in the world. You see, the more abundance God blesses us with in this life, the more we are able to demonstrate his love, not only in word, but also in deed. It is not enough to tell people Jesus loves you. I mean, that is awesome. We must also demonstrate that love. Remember, the Bible tells us that God demonstrated his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died, the just for the unjust. So love is not just what it says, beloved. Love is what it does. Love is action. Glory to God. And this is what the life more abundantly is all about. Not reducing it to just tangible things. Glory to God. But having those things so that we can express the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, not simply in word, but also in deed. Let's look at Jeremiah 3:3. It says, "The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee." At the heart, at the root of the more abundant life is the unsurpassed love of God Almighty. This is important. I mean, look all the way in Jeremiah's time. "The Lord hath appeared unto me of old, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love." God didn't appear to him coming to say, "Well, I'm going to chastise you. I'm going to do X, Y, and Z to you." No, absolutely not. He appeared unto him saying, "I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee." This is at the heart. This is at the root, ladies and gentlemen, of the life Jesus spoke about, the unsurpassing love of Almighty God. I want to delve a little deeper now, throat a little scratchy, into the understanding that an individual can only receive life and that more abundantly from Jesus Christ. There's no other way. It comes through the born-again experience. So, Salvation is the entry point to the Zoe, the God kind of life, the life that is more abundantly. Sinful man had to have a savior, a redeemer. And Jesus Christ is that savior, that redeemer who was crucified so we can live. Not any way, not any form, not in any fashion, but live with an abundance of peace, an abundance of joy, an abundance of sustenance. In other words, Jesus paid the price by the crucifixion, which dealt with the penalty of sin. But we have a responsibility now, ladies and gentlemen, my beloved listeners, in how we live the life he has redeemed for us. Apostle Paul, writing from the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, reveals to us what is required of us. Galatians 2 and verse 20. He said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith, or by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. What a beautiful passage. Crucified with Christ means the old man, the old nature with his frailties, that sin nature, that carnal nature, that fleshly nature is crucified, nailed to the cross with Jesus Christ, buried. The new man is raised, glory to God, with him from the dead. Christ takes up residence in the new man when the old man is expelled. The new man, who is the recipient of life more abundantly, lives by the faith of the Son of God. In other words, the faith, glory to God, allowed him, the God-given faith allowed him now to accept and to trust Christ for salvation. And that same faith, glory to God, keeps him going, keeps him motivated to continue to trust God in the midst of life's most difficult circumstances, right? So the new man is the recipient of the life that is more abundantly, right? And he or she lives by the faith of the Son of God, not by the whims and the dictates of the flesh. Flesh there indicative again of carnality as opposed to the flesh of the body. 1 Corinthians 15:31, the B part, Paul said, I die daily. Now, this is an individual who had a stellar resume, beloved, when it comes to his accomplishments for the Lord. Tutored and lettered unto the Hebrew scholar and Dr. Gamaliel, responsible by the power of the Holy Ghost for writing 2/3 of the New Testament. Handkerchiefs were taken from his body and placed on the sick, and they were healed. Yet he said, I die daily, meaning I have to crucify the flesh daily. In his letter to the church at Rome, he says, to will is in me, but when I seek to do good, evil is present. Now, if a man of that stature and caliber had to die and crucify the flesh daily, beloved, what about you and me? We must be constantly diligent in the crucifixion of this old, you know, this flesh, because the old man is always trying to resurrect himself. Let's look at Titus 3, verses 3 to 6. This is a great companion scripture to all of the aforementioned scripture. It ties everything together. It reads, for we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us, listen to this word again, abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. Another beautiful passage of scripture. Look at how it ties directly also in to what Jeremiah said about the appearance, glory to God, of God to him and drawing him with love and kindness. I feel the need to read this particular scriptures again. For we ourselves also are sometimes foolish, disobedient. We know that when we were steeped in sin and iniquity, we did foolish things. We were disobedient. He uses the word deceived here. Let's go all the way back to Genesis when Eve was deceived. And then Adam disobeyed and rebelled. So we looked at Apostle Paul and his accomplishment. We can look at the first couple, right? Walked with God, glory to God, in an idyllic garden, yet still deception came in, disobedience came in, right? So we can see, glory to God, that none of us, when it comes to the things of God, the kingdom of God, can rest on our laurels, rest on our accomplishments. But we must constantly be in a posture of dying to self, dying, making sure we're crucifying the flesh in terms of our words, in terms of our deeds, in terms of our thoughts, beloved. But after that, after all of that sinfulness, Titus says, the kindness and love of God our Savior towards men appeared, right? To give us life and that more abundantly, not by works of righteousness which we have done. Glory to God, because even when we were in sin, we did good acts. There were some good things that we did to help people, but those good things could not give us life and that more abundantly. The Zoe. No, so it's not by our works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he has saved us. It's about that word mercy, the Hebrew word chesed, beloved. Loving kindness is the way we were drawn unto him, right? So he's saying, Titus is saying, listen, glory to God, according to the mercies, the richness of God's mercy, he saved us. How? By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly, not stingily, through Jesus Christ our Savior. This is the message. This is the good news of the gospel, beloved, that by grace, by mercy, we are saved through faith, right? And the actual act is the washing of regeneration. The people groups of the world, of the nations, need to understand that without the washing, without the regeneration, there is no redemption. There is no pardoning. Without the renewing of the Holy Ghost, an individual cannot live a sanctified, a consecrated, a holy life. Glory to God. Glory be to the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. This is what separates him from any other spiritual or religious figure that ever manifested in the earth. His ability, glory to God, to bring forth regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost through his vicarious and atoning death, which caused the propitiation and the expiation of our sins, beloved. So in Titus 3, 3 to 6, we see the words kindness, we see the word love, and we see the words the appearing of the Lord, again, which are words mentioned in Jeremiah 3 and 3. Again, let me read it. When he wrote, the Lord hath appeared unto me of old, right, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. So what I'm seeing here is that the central focus now, glory to God, of this word concerning life and that more abundantly is love. Because this is what, glory to God, the abundant life is all about. The love of God that is shed abroad in our hearts, that same love now that we begin to spread here, there, and everywhere. In Titus 3, 3 to 6, we also see the words, again, abundantly, And we see the reference to Jesus Christ, our Savior, which confirms, ladies and gentlemen, and reaffirms the Lord's words found in John 10:10, part B. Titus mentions something else that is of the utmost importance, and that is integral in the salvation process and living the life that is more abundantly. Titus said, "He, God in Christ, saved us by the washing of regeneration." I cannot emphasize this enough. Glory to God. This was and is made possible by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Because without, again, the shedding of blood, how can there be regeneration? How can there be remission for sin? So here is the next integral piece mentioned by Titus. And renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Beloved, the shedding of the blood of Jesus Christ, right, gives us the opportunity to be freed from the penalty of sin and the judgment and the wrath to come. Right? It gives, again, what's called expiation and propitiation of sin. It gives us freedom from the wrath that is to come. But it is the power of God's Holy Spirit, beloved, working in our lives in a continual process of renewing until we come into what Holy Spirit referenced through Apostle Paul in Ephesians 4:13. Till we come, right, or till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. This is the purpose, beloved, of the precious salvation God has offered to all mankind and womankind, if you will, without sounding chauvinistic. This is what eternal life that is more abundantly is all about, right? This is the crux of the message, glory to God, that we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, right? In Christ, we are regenerated. Outside of Christ, an individual becomes a degenerate. Ladies and gentlemen, let's not sugarcoat it. The individual may have more degrees than a thermometer, less bills than Clinton. Listen to me, they may look like a movie star. They may have the wealth, glory to God, and the riches and the prestige. Once there is a carnal nature, once Christ is not seated on the throne of that individual's heart, he or she can commit the most egregious and reprehensible acts. Glory to God. Listen to this, beloved. We all have an opportunity to come into the unity of faith, into the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man or woman, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, coming into that life more abundantly. And it's available to all people, irrespective of creed, color, gender, economic, educational background, etc. And this is the good news. This is the purpose of the precious salvation God has offered to all mankind once again. Let's close by defining the word life. So, life, as Jesus used it in John 10:10, the Greek word zoe, comes from a root word which not only means to live, but it also means quick or a quickening. In 1 Corinthians 15:45, Apostle Paul wrote, "And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit." Beloved, all human beings are living souls. But only those who are washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, born again of his Holy Spirit, have the last Adam living and residing on the inside of them. Glory to God. There is no way around this. There is no pass. Glory to God. This is the only way that an individual, glory to God, can live the life more abundantly, not only here on earth, but also throughout eternity. This is the key. Glory to God. Individuals that who live in the earth realm can achieve certain levels of success, and you have individuals who might live, say, in poverty. They live in lack. But one thing is for certain. Once an individual repents of his or her sins and calls on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, there is no discrimination in God concerning that life more abundantly that the Lord Jesus Christ has provided for all that will call upon his name. So the level of the life more abundantly that we live in this life is correlated, and it is dependent, ladies and gentlemen, on how much we are willing to yield and to submit to the quickening spirit who lives within us. The Bible lets us know that that same spirit, speaking of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, which quickened the Lord Jesus Christ and raised him from the dead, will also quicken our mortal bodies. Think about this for a minute. The Spirit of the living God, that quickening spirit, the one who gives us that Zoe, that life eternal, ladies and gentlemen, he has the ability of Christ, right? The first fruit of all them that shall be raised from the dead, ladies and gentlemen. The Holy Spirit quickened him and raised him from the dead as a first fruit. So think about this. If he has the power and the authority and the ability to give life to the dead, how much more, glory to God, can he give the abundance of joy, the abundance of peace, the abundance, glory to God, of life, that more abundantly to individuals who are already alive? In other words, if he can do that for a dead person, a corpse, how much more can he do for you and me while we are in the land of the living? How much more can he do for individuals who are suffering? Think about the question I asked earlier about the individual who is the multimillionaire or the multi-billionaire, right? Imagine when the love of Jesus Christ is spread abroad in that individual's heart, when they're truly living the life and that more abundantly. That individual's desire is not going to be of selfishness, to be self-centered, full of pride, full of arrogance. No, he or she is going to desire to use that wealth that they have accumulated and acquired or inherited to be a blessing to those who are less privileged in society, in the nations. Beloved, remember, you have life, and you have it more abundantly. There will be seasons of trials, seasons of tribulations, seasons of troubles. But remember, you in Christ, glory to God, you have life and you have it more abundantly. Glory to God. A lot more teaching than allotted time, but it has been a tremendous pleasure and an honor to bring forth the WOL, my acronym for the Word of Life, unto you once again. Wanted to remind you that these teachings are divinely designed by Holy Spirit with you in mind. And if you're struggling in this chaotic season, need somebody to speak to, need someone just to communicate with you, to pray for you, to counsel you, please call our prayer line. One of our dedicated intercessors is waiting to take your call. 904-765-7600. Shalom.
Thank you for tuning into the Ask Dr. Turner radio broadcast, a ministry of Pure in Heart Ministries. To learn more or to submit your questions to Dr. Turner, email askdrturner8@gmail.com or visit askdrturner.org.
We look forward to having you join us again next Saturday at 6:30 p.m. right here on Praise 107.9.